Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
Yes, this show's going to be up like 2 days after the last episode posted.
Yay, we're back.
Yay, I'm hoping. We'll find out. So yeah, all right. Let's just get this over with. The stuff that's coming out this week,
Yeah, this week was pretty sad. I mean, we had
as far as wide release.
Yes, we had the Golden Compass, which as we now know is not going to be a big franchise for New Line. Yay!
What, as of Sunday when we're recording this,
the $26 million opening was bad. They think that it might have some momentum over the holiday season, but against I Am Legend and the Chipmunks and Sweeney Todd, I seriously doubt it. I think this thing, and not to mention Enchanted, which everybody loves.
That's true. That's probably what could hurt it more than anything else, because it's another family movie that everyone's loving, and Golden Compass is pretty uneven to a lot of people.
Yes, which is how I feel about it too. So yes. I want every movie to succeed. I really do. I love Nicole Kidman. I love Daniel Craig. Chris Weitz can direct, but I'm glad this movie's slowly dying.
You're glad to be right.
Yay, for once. And then let me release the John Cusack film, which I really admired. Grace is Gone, Juno, really good film, and the Keira Knightley film Atonement all open up in limited release.
Yeah, we're getting it Christmas Day, so I think I'm going to see it after that. And because I have to see it. I want to see Juno so bad.
Oh, good. I thought you were talking about Atonement for
No. Sorry. Juno. I got Juno on the brain just because,
Juno's really good. I've seen Juno. Good film. Very good film. I think it's slightly overrated. I'm almost tempted to compare it to Little Miss Sunshine in that sense. Like, I swear it's really great, but like as great as everybody says it is, I don't know. But Ellen Page and J.K. Simmons are definitely deserving Oscars for their work. They're so good, especially J.K. Simmons. That guy is awesome in everything he's in. Even if the movie stinks, he's usually really good, and he's terrific in Juno.
Yes. So try to go into it with open expectations, essentially, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. Let's go ahead and talk about the DVD releases.
All right. Well, this week we had Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, both in the single disc and the two disc edition.
Let's stop right there, because I've seen the single disc edition, and if all you want is the movie and some really crappy trailers, go for it. Go buy it for your $14.95. Otherwise, you get to pay $23-25 for the two-disc edition, which just never ceases to piss me off.
It's ridiculous. You don't need all of those extras. I mean, if you're a diehard Potterphile, then maybe you do. But seriously,
I've already got all the other two discs, so I'm going to have to get this one too. So we're seriously debating just holding off until they do a 1-7 movie set, because you know they're going to do it.
That's exactly how I feel too. I mean, that's how I feel about like Rambo and James Bond and all these movies. Like just or Die Hard for that matter. Just wait till this one big freaking set.
Okay, you brought up Die Hard. I was in Best Buy this morning. I went in. I've got all the 5-star collection editions of the first three Die Hard movies. Mm-hmm. Looked at the 2-disc unrated edition steelbook of Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard. Mm-hmm. Look at the back, no DTS track.
Really?
That pissed me off.
Shoot.
The other three movies all do. That's why I'm just like,
that sucks. So either A, they forgot it, or B, they're just waiting for suckers to come along and get it when it comes around the bend again, which is probably going to be before Christmas of 2008.
So I'll wait. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Keep going with your DVDs.
Jerks. Well, and then you've got the Harry Potter Years 1-5 edition.
Limited edition box set.
That's right.
So on regular Blu-ray and HD DVD. So you have a potential to get septuple dipped, because they're going to do it again after the 7 movies come out.
Septuple dipped. Yeah, that is about right. Yeah. Well,
you buy the single disc, and then you buy the three, all three. I'm sorry. That was a stupid joke, but it's stupid that they do this. It's 2 years before this whole thing's going to come out.
You made a point last week. I mean, I guess it's for the one Harry Potter maniac who has not bought any of the movies. Yeah. For all two of you who are still out there.
Yeah, as Josh said last week, I don't think Bobby has 1-5 this edition. I feel this is one of those times where I love High Fidelity in some ways. And it's the part where he's talking about, it's being a record collector is not like, collecting porn, because you're just kind of stuck. You have to get everything, So, yeah, and especially when you're one of them, I can understand, but there's no way I'm touching this.
Nope, likewise. Let's see, Harry Potter for the boys, for the girls, High School Musical 2, the extended edition, more of Zach and Vanessa, also in Blu-ray.
In Blu-ray, because
that 13-year-old tech girl is really going to want the Blu-ray edition, so she could see all the patterns in Zac Efron's tweed sweater. So, you get all the details. That's right. Thank you.
Only you would come up with that. That's kind of scary.
I know. Moving on. My reputation is shot. Born Identity. The Born Ultimatum is now out.
Which I watched as well. Amazing. I loved it even just as much the second time around.
Great movie, though. I still have problems with the ending.
Oh, the ending? I thought you had a problem with the fight scene.
Oh, no. Well, I wish they would hold the damn camera still so I could see what the heck is going on. Yeah. But otherwise, very cool. But no, I still don't know if I buy a guy jumping off a five-story building and living. I don't know if I completely buy that. But you know what? These movies aren't about that. They're about, you know.
There was actual closure, though.
Yeah, it's true. And it was a great ending. Great movie.
Yes. Yeah.
I shouldn't complain. The Bourne Collection for all three films, and they're all
And there's a fourth bonus disc. I don't know if... Now, cool. The thing is, I don't know if it's the same one as the Bourne Files, which I have, or if they have brand new content. I wouldn't be surprised to see them do brand new content just to, you know, keep milking people.
Well, as long as it's the special editions of all three films, though.
Yeah, but I'm a sucker for the Bourne movies, so I might keep my Bourne Files and then buy this version, and yeah.
I'm surprised that they didn't release, like, with this set, the Bourne Identity version with Richard Chamberlain, the TV movie from the 70s. I think it's like 3.5 hours long.
Really?
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't release that. You know, of course, I mean, comparing that to the Matt Damon version, that's like... Comparing Charlie Brown Christmas to like Jingle All the Way, we're talking like a world of difference.
Yes. Wow. So, that was a heck of... You're on a roll today.
Thank you. Yeah. I've had my chocolate. Moving on. Lost Season 3.
For all you Lost geeks, I'm waiting until the entire series is out, and then I might start watching it.
There you go. That's what everybody's telling me. Is like they don't like to watch stuff on TV anymore. But then again, you know, the way TV is going lately, you'd be just be watching the same shows.
Yeah, kind of like
over
Heroes.
And over again. We know what's weird is Jay Leno to Bunny Trail for a second. It's just weird to see the repeats on Jay Leno. They had Chris Farley on the other night. It was a repeat from 1996.
That's kind of cool.
He was on to promote Black Sheep. And then they had Famke Janssen the other night. And I thought, oh, is this going to be for X-Men? She was on to promote GoldenEye. It was from 1995. Wow. It was the first time she was ever on a talk show. It was so freaking weird. And Jay Leno, you know, his hair doesn't look all skunked out anymore. It has like little salt and pepper patches. And yeah, so they're going through the archives to find these shows to repeat now. It's the weirdest thing.
Very cool. Very cool.
I mean, it's probably the only good thing, the only cool thing about the strike so far.
Yes, yes. Okay.
So, Disney Treasures.
We talked about those last week.
Very cool. And then for the DVD collector who has everything, absolutely everything.
I saw this and I had to put it on the list.
This is nuts. The United Artists Anniversary Prestige Collection, $609 for 90
on Amazon.
On Amazon, 90 movies on 110 discs. This is everything from Rocky to Andy Hall.
Everything. I was looking at it. I'm like, it would be Prestige Collection. There's a reason why they call it that. Because if someone had that, that's like...
Yeah. I mean, it's like you're in a class unto yourself. You immediately like qualify for like the cool list having this. Does that include all the James Bond movies?
I don't think so. Because those are under MGM. So
okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. 90...
It's nuts.
It's actually not too bad of a price if you break it down by movie. But still.
Exactly.
Still. Ouch. No, it's just under $6 a disc.
I mean, I guess United Artists needs to make some money because they lost all that money on Lions for Lambs, but holy crap, man. I mean,
oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, it's like...
Okay. Yeah. Is that it for this week?
That is it. Okay. That is it. Thank goodness.
Let's move on to some news. Before we do, I'm so sorry that Josh isn't here because I need to get a little Heroes rant on.
Would you like to just do a one-man rant?
I think I am because, you know, spoiler alert, just saying, jump ahead like a couple minutes, and if you don't want to get spoiled, how the hell do you not kill both of the Wonder Twins? Even worse, to quote Stephanie, okay, there's a spot where the chick gets shot in the chest. She's dead. Steph yelled a whoop like she was thrilled. We were celebrating. Came back, and she got healed. Mm. And she came back up. At the end of the episode, I was like, what? Now, isn't that just some that I was so upset by that. They killed off some characters who I thought were... They killed them off well. If they actually are dead, they actually gave them heroic deaths as opposed to some of the cop-out killings that they've done earlier. This season has sucked. I think you can skip ahead to season 3 and just ignore season 2 overall. And yeah, I'm really disappointed by it so far. And if she ends up coming into being one of the heroes, if they don't kill her off in a hurry, I will actually quit watching the show. Because the character is just... All she does is whine and bitch and moan. And then kill people, and then now she can heal them back, and then keep wash, rinse, repeat. Show blows now, and I loved the show originally. I loved the first season, but this season sucked.
You're voicing what every Heroes fan has been saying. This has just been a bad season for Heroes fans.
Well, here's the thing, though. There's some really cool things. It sounds like okay, you've got the Justice League, quote unquote, right? It looks like the next chapter they're going to be setting up the Legion of Doom,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of like oh, that would be cool. You know, it's getting all the villains set up.
Yeah.
And one of the characters, I think, well, all I'll say is Micah, you don't watch the show, you don't know. And we're still in spoiler territory. I think Micah is going to become like Batman. He's a young kid. Both of his parents have been killed. He has techno powers. I can see it. He's going to become Batman / Oracle, and that could be really cool. But if that stupid character is there, I quit.
Really? You officially quit?
Yes.
Wow.
Speaking of things that are so pissy and awful and... Max Spy Kids look like an Oscar award winner. Let's talk about the Speed Racer trailer.
And spoilers. Now we'll move on to the Speed Racer trailer. Yeah, you know, I wrote this down because I just thought it was so funny. The second you, it's because for you listeners, Dave just saw it a few moments ago before we did the show. And as soon as it was over, the first thing Dave said was, no. It looks so terrible. It really does. I mean, I've heard people say the opposite. They think it looks so cool. But to me, it looks cartoonish in the worst possible way. Like, to me, it looks like the Flintstones movie.
Or, you know, Looney Tunes back in action.
Or the Thunderbirds movie a few years ago. Yeah, it just looks so silly. You know, and don't get me wrong, Christina Ricci in a cute wig as Trixie looks great. Chim Chim the monkey is there, and it's played by a monkey. That's good. I'm glad they didn't get a little CGI monkey. But Emil Hirsch, you know, who is like getting all these kudos for his performance for Into the Wild, and now doing Speed Racer. I can't say this is the best career move. This doesn't...
You know, I have enough problems with... The CG looks awful.
It just looks so awful. Fake. It looks so overtly fake to a point where, like...
I'd almost say Tron levels.
Yeah. How are we supposed to be, you know, caught up suspensefully in this movie when it doesn't even look remotely real? Like, how can we... You know, it looks like the movie's not going to invest anything resembling reality. Yeah,
and I know some people are saying, well, this isn't the finished product, you know? Well, you know, you should have had at least these portions finished for this trailer because it looks awful.
Truly.
Beyond the fact that it looks cheesy as hell. I mean, not in a fun way. This looks like Uwe Boll levels of bad.
It looks
bad.
So silly. It looks really, really silly. And, you know, I know it's rated G, so it's probably not for us anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, the original cartoon, I also have to say, I'm not a fan of the cartoon at all. But, you know, the cartoon's pretty innocuous, so I don't have a problem with it being rated G, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You get away with a lot more with a G these days than you used to. But this just looks bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone can say, this looks great. I can't wait to see this.
If a better trailer comes out, that might be able to sway me. But at this point, this looks like one of these big summer movies. I'm just going to wait till it hits DVD. It doesn't look all that great.
I'm not even going to wait for
it. Not even going to wait. You know, the Wachowskis have me interested. But considering how they screwed me on Matrix Reloaded, I can't say I completely trust the Wachowskis anymore.
Yeah, no. Okay, go ahead, sir. Yeah, you got most of the rest of the news.
So. All right, well, for all seven of you who care, the Sex and the City movie trailer came out, and it's the response has been pretty consistent across the board. If you're a fan of the show, you'll see this trailer and go, oh, that looks great. If you've never seen a single episode, it's like, oh, who gives a flying Sarah Jessica Parker. But I got to say, I was a fan of the show. My wife was. We saw the trailer. I'm like, oh, that looks pretty cool. So,
okay.
So there you go. The X-Files 2, we've got the supporting cast officially. It's interesting. Billy Connolly, Fido himself, rapper Xzibit, and Amanda Peet are officially part of the cast.
Is he going to pimp Mulder's ride? Sorry.
That would be pretty sweet because I've seen Mulder's ride.
It turned into a Men in Black car.
I'll tell you what, rumor, but they're speculating that Lance Henriksen is going to have a cameo as his Millennium character.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool little stuff for the fans.
Yeah, for the Fox diehards. Yeah, I think that'd be kind of cool.
You know, and Chris Carter's not the kind of person who, I mean, has he done anything since X-Files?
I don't think so.
But he was so devoted to it, I don't think he's going to let something crappy come through. I think everything with Daggett kind of helped with that.
Yeah, and Harsh Realm, I think, was during the X-Files realm, the when X-Files was actually on. So I don't think he's done anything post-X-Files.
But I'm excited to see it. I can't wait to see it. Yeah. Exhibit kind of makes me, huh? But the rest of it, yeah.
You know, it could be Snoop Dogg or Coolio, so I'm happy with Exhibit.
Or DMX.
Yes, it could be DMX.
Yes. Ooh. No, that's going to be for Geek Label, so never mind.
Okay, never mind. All right. Rumor for years that Ghostbusters 3, the script was finished, that it was never going to be made. It was about how the Ghostbusters eventually get a new candidate for their little troop to join and fight the forces of evil in New York. Over the years, they've talked about getting Chris Farley to play the role. I've heard everybody from Jerry Seinfeld to
Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller playing like the fourth new Ghostbuster. Well, apparently, and you know, this is just speculation. I don't know officially if this is what's happening.
I believe this has been this is a little bit old for the video game community, but
this is still cool news. Apparently, what it looks like is that Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis have taken their script about getting the new Ghostbuster and turning it into Ghostbusters the video game. So you, the player, are the new Ghostbuster instead of like some potential movie star. The cool thing about this game, what really makes it look like it's going to be a serious event when it does unveil on October 7, 2008, is that you've got the original cast. Bill Murray, Hal Ramis, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson. Rick Moranis is not confirmed, but apparently Sigourney Weaver is. You've got all the film's talent, except for Rick Moranis. Everybody else and Annie Potts have all joined on to do the voices with the script written by Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd.
And now I have to go gamer real quick. There's been some footage that came out last year. There was some footage that looks like it was based off like the Gears of War engine. It looked amazing. Everyone's like, no, that was just a fan who made that. Ugh. Some more footage just hit, and it hasn't been confirmed one way or another if it's related to this production. Actually, I think it has. There's footage out there, I think on either game trailers or joystick or somewhere, of actual test footage. And it's when they're going after Slimer in Ghostbusters 1 in the banquet hall. And it's going through that scene as you're shooting stuff, and it shows the mechanics. It looks awesome. If that's the case, I cannot wait. I'm hoping this is like Tron 2.0 levels of good.
Yes, exactly. From what I've seen on www.ghostbusterstheGame.com, the screen captions are terrific. They have some really good pictures that are done. And apparently it's going to be available on Xbox, Wii, PlayStation 2 and 3, PC, and Nintendo DS. So.
Yeah. Oh, 360.
Mm. So they're trying to do like a Godfather game rollout. I call Egon.
I'm just saying.
I call Spangler. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. So hopefully Ghostbusters the video game will be amazing. And the last bit of news I have is the movie I've been waiting forever to see, the Harvey Milk movie, the actual film, directed by Gus Van Sant. I have some mixed feelings about the cast. He decided to cast Sean Penn as Harvey Milk. The role Harvey Milk, like, for a long time, Danny DeVito was the ideal cast member. Because Danny DeVito actually looks quite a bit like Harvey Milk. I can't say the same thing about Sean Penn. I love Sean Penn, but I think after All the President's Men, I'm really not looking forward to seeing him play another, you know, politician grandstanding type of role. I'm really not looking forward to it. I was hoping they would get like an unknown or somebody edgy or even like somebody like Giovanni Ribisi, who, you know, it's just like just somebody who's not necessarily a big name character. I have a hard time buying Sean Penn as Harvey Milk. We'll see how he does. I'm sure he'll be brilliant. Interestingly enough, cast as his lover, and again, Harvey Milk is the first openly gay mayor of San Francisco who was assassinated, playing his lover, James Franco.
Really?
And this is going to be directed by the great Gus Van Sant. So we'll see Milk in theaters next year with Sean Penn and James Franco. No word yet if we're going to have any Brokeback scenes.
Yeah. Okay, then. So, could be worse than any Flyboys scenes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Or anything from Tristan and Isolde or Spider-Man 3 or any other James Franco Annapolis, any other James Franco fiasco. Wow.
Okay then. All right.
I'm not a fan, sorry.
I'm kind of picking that up.
Not a fan of the Franco.
All right, cool. Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and kick into our topic.
This is Ray.
So let's listen in as Ray hits on Sandra.
Excuse me, miss, but do you know karate? Because your body is kicking.
Now, let's listen to the same scene. Only this time, Ray is sporting a quality Geek Label t-shirt.
Yo, baby, I was wondering,
Damn. Rejection.
What's up with that?
We can't really stop it.
Damn.
But we can outfit you in buttery smooth designs for geeks, gamers, and tech heads. They're custom t-shirts. They're not magic t-shirts.
Damn.
Another fine product from geeklabel.com.
And you can catch us every week on geeklabel.com doing a short segment. We do their weekly screen cap segment. Yeah, we actually save some news stories exclusively for our bit on there. And we just have a good time over there. So listen, and just listening in general because they're just, you know, cool like that.
Yes, every week Geek Label puts in a show of total excellence, and then we come in for a few minutes to really make it truly mediocre and terrible.
We kind of sully it, yeah.
Yes, but then they come back and the show's good again. So
there you go, exactly. Yeah.
So cool. Roller coaster experience.
Yes.
Well, this week we're going to be talking about vampire movies because we've got I Am Legend coming out. That was my best vampire hiss. I didn't want to do the cheesy Transylvanian accent.
You didn't want to go Bela Lugosi.
That's just too easy and too cheesy even for me.
Gotcha. You know, the funny thing is we're not the biggest vampire fans, so this might be a quick segment, and we apologize if this bums.
Well, I managed to come up with a lot of titles that we could just drop.
Oh, we came up with a lot. Yeah.
And you know what? Screw it. I'm going to start with my brother. What the heck? I'm going to start with my brother Marty. He's making a vampire movie right now called Salivate. Check out the trailers on YouTube for Salivate. They look pretty freaking sweet.
Has he got another one up? Or?
The last one he has is the one titled Gavin, which is chronicling the main vampire character. And it's a really...
Okay, so he's put up more since we put up that one little trailer.
Yes. Okay, yes. There's cool. The one with vampire and the dead hooker, which is... Yeah, it's great bit of black comedy. You definitely need to see it. It's good. Very trailer. Cool. Good trailer.
Okay.
All right, so
we go back in time.
Yes, let's go all the way back to Mr. Lugosi.
Well, wasn't Nosferatu first?
Yeah, let's go to Max Schreck. Who am I kidding? Yeah. Max Schreck as the original Nosferatu the Vampire, of course. Excuse me. Yeah, have you seen it?
I have not. I did see Shadow of the Vampire.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. Yeah, Nosferatu, the original one, is really... It's one of these movies you could just watch with the sound off. The imagery is so nightmarish and dreamlike, particularly all the scenes where you basically just see Max Schreck in shadow with his long fingernails elongated across the ceiling. I mean, really, really beautiful, beautiful film.
Very cool. Who directed that? It wasn't Fritz Lang. I'm thinking Metropolis. My bad. Don't mind me.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the name because I know it's the guy John Malkovich played.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about Shadow of the Vampire.
Yeah, let's move on to it.
I love Willem Dafoe's performance in that movie.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. I don't know that I'd want to watch it again, really, but it was good. It was really good. It's just one of those, wow, it kind of sticks with you and wow.
Yeah, it's a creepy little film. It really is. I mean,
especially the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it goes beyond like being a black comedy to being a genuinely uncomfortable horror film.
Yeah. It plays the comedy up so much, it just grandstands and just overplays it so much, it just starts getting out of control, and you're like, this is just getting wrong.
Yeah, and it makes a really interesting argument that, you know, well, yeah, who the heck was Max Schreck? I mean, you know, and of course, the urban legend was that he was really a vampire, but I mean, he's so wonderful in the film Nosferatu, and he's so freaking creepy, and we've only seen him in pictures in character.
Exactly.
We just don't know.
Well, the fun is that Malkovich goes so over the top with like covering for him and everything. That's what makes it so much fun. Oh, it's nothing. Nothing. Let's just go back to shooting.
Right, right. Yeah. It's just him getting character. Yeah. Good film. Good film. All right. Then I guess we should move on to Mr. Lugosi.
1934, right?
Yes. Yes. Good film. I like the original Dracula.
I love the original Dracula. Interestingly enough, I think we agree on this, not because of Bela Lugosi.
Renfield.
Yes.
Renfield is so creepy.
Is it Todd Downing? No, he directed it.
Yeah, Todd Browning directed it. Renfield, I can't remember the name of the
actor. I forget, but talk about it. About his performance a little bit. I'll cheat and look online.
Okay, well, all the scenes where like the camera goes for an abrupt close-up of Renfield are so, so scary. He looks so completely and utterly demented. I can't imagine that being scarier than all the scenes of Lugosi in the theater. It's been said
when you look down in the ship, in the belly of the ship, and he's just sitting there laughing.
It's really disturbing. I know women apparently...
1931, my bad.
Excuse me, 1931, I should know that too. Apparently when it was in theaters, women screamed out for smelling salts because women were passing out left and right when it was in theaters. Obviously it doesn't have that effect now, but what a great gothic horror film it is.
Absolutely. And the gentleman's name is Dwight Frye.
Dwight Frye, yes.
I don't know if he ever did anything after that, really.
Why didn't I know that?
You'd think that performance really would be a career maker.
Sure.
But then again, it was so messed up back then.
Yeah.
So, you know, nothing really.
Yeah, and horror films, even though they were, you know, moneymakers, they really weren't this prestigious, you know, they weren't like in that category of like musical or Western back then, so.
Yeah, he got stuck in a lot of horror.
Oh, sure.
Son of Frankenstein, the son of Monte Cristo, wow. Huh. Okay, yeah. So,
poor Mr. Fry.
But yeah, he was amazing. It is worth watching. And, you know, with the Universal DVD release, the 75th anniversary even has this, the Philip Glass score is amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not a big Philip Glass fan, but it's a very good score.
No, but the score is so good.
Yeah, well, that's a really good one.
Cronus Quartet will do that for you, too.
Yes, yes, truly.
So, yes.
All right, moving on. You got George Romero's George Romero's vampire film, Martin, about a guy who may or may not be a vampire. Then you've got the really bizarre one, Nicolas Cage and Vampire's Kiss, the infamous film where Nicolas Cage eats a live cockroach on screen for your chewing enjoyment.
It's called method acting.
That's right. Boy, is it ever. One of my favorite movies, period, just because it's such a beautiful film. I know people are like, you know, well, you shouldn't love this movie because it's not the most faithful Dracula film, but I love Bram Stoker's Dracula. I really do love what Francis
Ford Coppola. I still have to get around to see it.
It's a beautiful film, and Tom Waits, for that matter. I thought he was a great Renfield in that film, and I loved Gary Oldman as Dracula. You know, yes, the story is screwy and a little convoluted the way it's presented, and yes, Anthony Hopkins is way over the top as Van Helsing, but I think it's a really cool movie. Let's talk about Van Helsing. I name dropped Van Helsing. Are you a fan?
I am, to an extent.
That's right.
I have to have some love because Michael worked on it.
Mm.
Yeah. The reason why I liked it had absolutely nothing to do with Dracula. It had to do with Frankenstein. The Frankenstein monster I thought was amazing. The way they characterized him, it's such a unique take.
Yeah.
I really, I don't know why, I really connected with that character. I loved that character. So that's why I own the 3-disc edition. But that's about, you know, I don't, it's not like, hey, honey, let's go watch some Van Helsing. You know, I don't like pop that one in too often. Yeah.
I thought it was funny how, what was it, Carl's Jr. Who had the tie-in with Van Helsing, and they would show like the vampire women and it would be like, you hungry for a bite? And I'm like, ew, what a weird, yeah. What a weird tie-in there.
Yeah. I remember that. That was kind of messed up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really bad product placement there. Speaking of modern day vampire movies, are you a fan of the Underworld films?
They're okay. The pregnant pause should have said it all. I saw the first one, thought it was mildly entertaining, and haven't bothered with Evolution.
I did see
Evolution. I heard Evolution was better.
Whoa, really? I would
from
go
some people.
I would go with the first one was better than Evolution, actually. But I didn't care for the first one much either. To me, it's just more of the same. To me, it was like The Crow with fangs. You know, it's gothic. It's always nighttime. No one bothers to turn on the light. Everybody's shooting at everybody.
When Constantine is a more disturbing movie...
Yes, exactly.
You know, it was around the same time frame, and so mm-hmm. I just, yeah.
Yeah, special effects over plot. Yeah, definitely. Although Kate Beckinsale, can't complain.
There you go.
Speaking of crappy vampire movies, Blood and Chocolate came out this year.
Did you actually see that?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. You didn't either?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah, I mean, you
sat through Norbit. I sat through Epic Movie. I think we've taken our bullets for the year.
We've suffered enough, and that was early in the year. We got that way out of the way.
Yeah.
Have you seen the 79 version of Dracula with Frank Langella?
I have not.
It's awesome. Awesome. It takes a lot of liberties with the story. They changed Mina and, it was Mina Westenra and was it Lucy, excuse me. They exchanged Lena and Mina and Lucy's names, the character names, for some bizarre reasons. Kind of an unnecessary plot twist. And they're like little things throughout where they kind of jack with the original Bram Stoker story. But Langella is an excellent Dracula. Laurence Olivier could very well be the best Van Helsing ever. He is awesome in it. And
really?
Kate Nelligan is really good. Like in the scene where the vampire hunters go into the tomb and find the vampire bride is so disturbing. It's mostly because of the makeup. A really good movie. It came out the same time as Love at First Bite. And that's why it basically flopped at the box office. Love at First Bite actually was a hit for some sick reason.
Yeah. I made you mention that one, and I don't remember why, because that movie was bad.
It's really bad, yeah. You know, but I, as I like to mention, it's not as bad as Zorro the Gay Blade, which was another George Hamilton's quote-unquote farce that came out around the same time. These movies are terrible.
There you go. Wow.
Yes. So let's get this on a good track. Actually, it's not. Let's save in crap for a little while. Do you remember
plenty of it.
Yeah, there's lots. Do you remember Transylvania 65,000?
You went there.
With Gina Davis and the Dracula Gale. That's the only thing I remember about the movie.
Wasn't Ed Begley in that, too?
Yeah, Ed Begley and Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, that movie was awful.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. One of the worst so-called horror comedies ever. But I still remember Gina Davis's outfit in that movie.
So there you go.
Call it a... third grade crush. What else we got? We got Alyssa Milano in Embrace of the Vampire.
Neither of us have seen this, but
no, and
it's just kind of notorious.
Even if I have seen it, I wouldn't admit to it, but no, honestly, I've not seen this movie.
It's like softcore Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, but you know what? The vampire fans love it. Okay, let's go a little more classical. You've got the Hammer Dracula films, which is Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing.
So I was going to say, like, best Van Helsing? Dude, Cushing, come on.
Yeah, I guess I got to go with that. Yeah, you're probably right.
Well,
the Laurence Olivier, though, you know?
But, yeah, anyway. It's kind of hard to go against Laurence Olivier.
But no, yeah, you're right. Cushing was an excellent, excellent Van Helsing. I've only seen a few of these. I've seen The Tomb of Dracula, and I saw Dracula AD, which was really terrible. But the one thing about these movies that, you know, certainly made them so big during their time is they were so genuinely bloody and gory.
Oh,
and, of
yeah.
course, the blood and gore looked like, you know, paint thinner, but still.
Yeah, it was a bloody movie.
Yeah, there was nothing like those Hammer vampire
okay,
movies.
So I have one I know you don't have on your list, I don't
okay.
think. The Warhol film.
Oh, yeah. Andy
Blood
Warhol's
for Dracula.
Yeah.
I did not see it. I watched about a half hour of Flesh for Frankenstein because I caught the Criterion for like $20.
Okay.
And then I shut it off and traded it for something better. So you have not seen Blood for Dracula?
I have not.
Okay,
no.
I was just curious because, that if it's anything like Flesh for Frankenstein, that was one effed up movie. I could not finish it. I seriously got maybe a half hour into it. And I'm like, okay, that's enough.
I've seen the infamous Warhol movie where it's basically just a guy sleeping for 2 hours. Well, he just... Yeah, you're just watching a dude sleep. I've seen that, and I've seen one called Bad, which lived up to its title, ironically enough. I've avoided most Warhol movies because I love his art, but filmmaking was not his first.
No, well, it was like a film of deck. It was just messed up.
Yeah.
Okay, move on.
I'm a big fan of the remake of Nosferatu that came out that Werner Herzog directed with Klaus Kinski as Nosferatu and my all-time favorite actress of all time, French actress Isabelle Adjani. Beautiful film. very atmospheric. Yeah, great film. It would make a great double feature with the original Nosferatu. It definitely emphasizes style and atmosphere over genuine horror. But it looks like if they managed to find a color camera back in the 1930s, you would have this film because it does have that kind of beauty. Great film. Great art movie choice. I wish we could stay on the high road, but no. Let's go to Bloodsucking Freaks. never seen it, but you know, figure I had to mention it.
Yeah, you have to.
Jim Carrey's Once Bitten. Have you seen this one?
Unfortunately,
I have too.
He's an ice cream salesman, right?
Right.
He drives an ice cream truck.
That's right. And they make
you want some ice cream.
Right. They make little crucifixes out of popsicle sticks. Yeah.
Stupid movie.
Yeah, Lauren Hutton was in it. I think Cleavon Little was in it too. From Blazing Saddles. Yeah, he was like
so sad.
He was Lauren Hutton's like sidekick or whatever.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That's so
stupid,
sad.
Stupid movie. I remember when it first came out, and I was so interested in it, but I couldn't see it because it was PG-13. And I remember seeing it years later on HBO and being like, oh gosh,
why did I see that?
Wasn't funny. Wasn't scary. Just such a limp, bad movie. Speaking of an uneven, unfunny vampire horror movie, let's talk. I'll mention Vamp with Grace Jones. stupid movie about vampire strippers. That kind of fits all with From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Hey, there you go. Definitely skip.
From Dusk Till Dawn was a better movie.
Yeah, skip Vamp, which is not funny, not scary, just really crude and stupid and a total bad 80s relic. Even if you're a Grace Jones fan, it's not worth it. But From Dusk Till Dawn, I thought was kind of fun.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Although, what do you like better, the first half of it, or was it a crime movie, or the
last
half?
I didn't even see it.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Okay.
I remember living in L.A., and they used to show it on Channel 13, on KCOP, when it was KCOP.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, I'd see the commercial, and the commercial freaked me out for some reason.
Mm.
So, but I just remember seeing it, and then everyone's like, "That's the dumbest movie ever." I'm like, "Well, okay, I'll skip it."
It's interesting because it's two movies in one, really, and it becomes a vampire movie like halfway through and really randomly. And it's a good argument whether the first half is better than the second half. But yeah, it's a very memorable vampire movie, kind of like Blackula, one of the great blaxploitation vampire
die,
movies.
Die, Blackula, die! You had all those movies.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, we're in that time frame. We gotta go to the Lost Boys.
Okay.
Have you got something to go to before that?
I was going to mention Dracula Dead and Loving It. Definitely not Another Young Frankenstein from Mel Brooks. But you know what? But you mentioned
the only
yourself.
Scene. There's one scene that makes me die laughing.
The scene
every time.
where they decapitate the vampire and
he's going to drive the stake into the heart.
The stake in the heart. Yes, it's
and
such
then,
a
like,
funny
Mel
scene.
Brooks hides behind a wall. He's like, "What are you doing back there?" Oh, nothing. And it's like an army of darkness, geyser of blood. And, oh, you got to hit him again. Are you sure? Yes. Oh,
yeah, that's a great scene.
But the movie itself was pretty bad. I remember being pretty much in pain. It felt like Mafia.
Yeah, it's probably on that level. There's some really great moments, and I think it was interesting that Mel Brooks, you know, decided to make fun of like the original Bela Lugosi Dracula. Like, there's little nods in it, you know, about Bram Stoker's Dracula, but for the most part, he's making fun of the original Dracula,
yeah.
Which was such a weird idea. And some of it is really, really funny. Other parts of it are just so painfully desperate.
Yeah.
You know, kind of sad.
Yes.
But, you know, oh well. Did you ever see The Little Vampire with Jonathan Lipnicki?
No. Did you?
No. Jonathan Lipnicki and Richard E. Grant. I never saw it, but I heard it was just dreadful. But it came out like the same day as Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows. So.
Toss up for which one was worse.
Yeah. That's
probably Blair Witch 2.
I'm guessing Blair Witch 2, but I'll give... Little vampire.
You know, you brought up Bela Lugosi. We got to talk Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Yes. One of the great horror comedies of all time.
It's one of the few great horror comedies.
And it's still hilarious.
Yes. Because you had everyone, like, they played the horror characters straight. That was what was the best part of it. They didn't make them a joke.
Right.
Which was why Boris Karloff wasn't involved originally, because he figured they were going to make a joke of the Frankenstein monster, and so he didn't get into it. But eventually he was in the Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy. And Abbott and Costello Meet the Killer. I think those are the only two he was involved with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you want to see a truly funny monster movie, this is the perfect double feature to watch this with the Monster Squad.
Yes.
I can't think of a better Halloween double feature.
Yeah, that's a good segue. Yeah, I'll say briefly about Abbott and Costello. I love Lon Chaney's performance in that movie because it's so intense. And
yeah.
It's such a wonderful contrast to Abbott and Costello. And
it's like he's not in on the joke.
It's so great because he's so dang intense in the movie. And the scene where the luggage is brought over to his apartment and he's the werewolf and he's just getting ready to pounce and he doesn't realize it. Oh, it's... Great, great scene.
Yes, great comedy.
Suspenseful and funny, yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and you mentioned Monster Squad. Awesome, awesome movie.
Yes, and yeah. except for the, you know, creature from the Black Lagoon, but we'll leave that joke alone.
It's just, yeah. 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 Not everything works in Monster Squad,
but it's a fun movie.
It is a lot of fun. Good, and, yes. You know, I think they try to. You know, it's not quite up there like with the Goonies or Explorers, but as far as like '80s, you know, teen, well, preteen thriller fantasy movies, guys, I think it's pretty damn good.
And then now let's move back to the Lost Boys because now we're at that point.
That's right.
Such an interesting movie. Yes. I don't know. I know it's one of your favorite Schumacher films.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, probably. Well, yeah.
I know you loved it.
I love Falling Down even more, but yeah, it is probably my number two on Schumacher's.
It's downright scary.
It's very scary, but again, like the humor works so well. It's one of the few horror movies Julia, my wife, loves.
Yeah,
you know, because it is so dang funny, and you know, plus you get the 80s visuals and Jason Patrick. I mean, it's you know, good stuff. And then you got, you know, Kiefer Sutherland in arguably one of his definitive film roles.
Absolutely.
You know, even after all these years, people still remember him as the white-haired vampire.
Or in Stand By Me, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mentioned two crappy ones before we ended on a high note. John Carpenter's Vampires.
Missed that one. Didn't they do a sequel, too?
They did. Los Muertos. Terrible. Yeah, well, the Carpenter film is a really mixed bag. James Woods gives a great performance. There are some really funny, even really creepy moments. Thomas Ian Griffin, the bad guy in Karate Kid 3, plays the head vampire, and he's really good. There's like all sorts of good stuff on it, but it's such an overwhelmingly cheesy movie that it just... It can't quite even get to the level of like The Fog, but for Carpenter fans, you know, it's got some good stuff in there. For everybody else, I think it's kind of avoidable. And then you've got, of course, Vampire in Brooklyn, not Wes Craven or Eddie Murphy's finest moment. Interesting movie, some good stuff in there, but at the end it completely falls apart in shame. Yeah, let's end it with Interview with the Vampire. Have you seen this?
I did.
I have very mixed feelings about it myself.
Yes, I hate Tom Cruise.
Really? Just in general?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know you were seriously Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah. I always feel that this is going to kill us for ever getting any kind of interview in the future. So, but he has improved somewhat, but like, especially during this time frame, he always had a smirk about his face that's like, I need to be slapped. You know the smirk.
Yeah, I know. Do you think it worked for Lestat?
I think it did. But I just took this intense dislike of him in general as an actor, the way, you know, it's. He's had great acting roles. I own two of his movies, on Collateral and Mission Impossible 3. My favorite movies of his, mm-hmm. the two that I'd actually watch.
Sure.
But, you know, I thought Brad Pitt's character was far more interesting.
Mm.
You know, he was actually conflicted. You know, it was almost like Cruz felt more like the cut-and-dried bad guy vampire to me.
So you think her original choice of Rutger Hauer might have been better? Or?
Oh, she actually would have been awesome.
Really? You think Rutger Hauer's the style would have been better?
I think it would have been a lot more fun
even
to watch.
After his performance in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
Oh, he was awesome in Buffy. Come on.
I don't know if I could roll with you there. Paul Rubens, I thought, was awesome in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, yes. But, I think Rutger Hauer could have had a lot of fun with that role. Mm. Not like in a comedy way, but just like chewing up the scenery.
Literally.
Tom Cruise is not a scenery chewer. Rutger Hauer, relatively speaking. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I could see him almost doing a Christopher Walken in the Rundown levels of just like tearing everything up around it.
Mm.
I think it would have been a lot of fun. I probably would have killed the movie, but I would have enjoyed it a lot more.
Rutger Hauer is Lestat.
Yeah. This, to its credit, this is the movie that made me think, Brad Pitt may not be just a pretty boy. And then I saw 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, 12 Monkeys is what did it for me, because he did Vampire and Legends of the Fall back-to-back, where he had long hair, you know, and he's like brooding for the whole movie, like, this guy sucks. I hate Brad Pitt. And then he did 12 Monkeys, like, oh, man, this guy's got real versatility.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I'm guessing you loved Interview with the Vampire? Or?
I liked it. And I liked Cruise's performance a lot. I thought he was a great villain.
He's perfect as the villain because he's someone you want to hate.
Well, I think he is so exuberant that you just really do want to strangle him. That's why I think he's so good in films like this or like Magnolia. And I loved Christian Slater's performance as the interviewer. And I think the movie is visually beautiful at times. I think it kind of falls apart during the France sequences where the focus, you know, turns on Antonio Banderas and Stephen Ray's characters. I just didn't think they were quite as interesting. I thought the movie got kind of goofy at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Guns N' Roses doing the Rolling Stones song, Sympathy for the Devil, I thought that was a really bad choice. I thought they really blew that song. But, you know, for me, the movie's a real mixed bag, but it is probably one of the most prestigious vampire movies ever made.
True.
Very visually beautiful.
It couldn't be a whole lot worse than Queen of the Damned. I mean...
Oh, boy.
which I didn't even bother with.
Had to end on that note. Queen of the Damned.
Sorry.
It's okay. You know what? Why not? Might as well mention it. Queen of the Damned is bad. It's bad. Stuart Townsend is a really bad Lestat. And he really tries. That's the thing. He really tries, but he's got nothing to work with. And Aaliyah, who was really good in Romeo Must Die. And I got to say, I was a fan of her music before she passed on. It's a shame that her last movie is such... It's in such a cheeseball role. It's as bad as the Jay Davidson role in Stargate. Remember him in Stargate where he was Ra?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like a role that is so completely stupid and beneath her, and her voice was electronically altered throughout the film.
Hmm.
Yeah, Queen of the Damned. It's like it has a lot of promise. It's one of these movies you watch and you just keep waiting for it to get really, really good, and it just never happens.
Yes. So let's end it there. Email us, voicemail us what your favorite vampire films are.
Let's put a stake in this.
Yes, let's go ahead and talk about what's hitting in theaters this next week, because there's another gigantic turd around the corner. Let's just hope that Alvin doesn't eat it.
Let's hope it gets impaled by Will Smith and his vampire-killing abilities in I Am Legend. Not a vampire movie, unlike the novel by Richard Matheson, but hey, maybe it'll be good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. To me, I'm so on the fence about that one. Francis Lawrence, I was not a big fan of Constantine, but it kind of looks cool.
Yeah, it does. I'll have to see it.
I'm going
to
check
it. That's going to be like Guy's Night movie, because Steph has no desire.
Oh, likewise. Yeah, yeah, exactly. We'll have to go see that one together.
Yeah, there you go.
And then Alvin and the Chipmunks, unfortunately. Jason Lee selling his soul to Lestat and who knows what else to star in this... it's a Jason Lee crap double feature weekend. We'll get to him later
with the DVD release. I just watched Dogma a few weeks ago.
He's wonderful in that movie.
Yes.
He's wonderful in that. He's great in Chasing Amy. You know, where is
even
that?
His cameo in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
Even My Name is Earl is good.
Even his cameo in freaking Clerks 2 is hilarious.
Yes.
Like, what happened to this guy? What happened to you, Jason Lee? You need to do that Fletch movie you said you would do. also opening up next week, is The Perfect Holiday, a perfectly crappy Christmas movie about a woman who falls in love with a department store Santa. Because that would really happen. Exhibit A, Bad Santa. That would never happen. And then opening a limited release.
You had to bring that one.
Oh, absolutely. Any chance I could talk about Bad Santa. Opening a limited release, the long-awaited Francis Ford Coppola's Youth Without Youth with Tim Roth. Can't wait to see that one.
Yes. Alvin, never going to watch it.
Oh.
Ever.
You know what stinks? You and I will go see I Am Legend. Julia can't wait to see Alvin and the Chipmunks. She thinks it's going to be really funny. I know. So I'll probably have to eat it, literally, and go see that movie.
Oh, see, I think that's when you do the trade-off double feature. I'll go see that. We're going to see I Am Legend later. Because wanting to see Alvin and the Chipmunks? I'm sorry, but no. No. Oh.
Yeah, that's probably going to be very, very long, long.
I see I Am Legend having an enormous box office. I'm just saying.
But you know what? Alvin and the Chipmunks... It could very well do.
It's a kiddie flick. It's an animated.
Because
flick.
How many times can you go see Enchanted over and over again? So you know it could do okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Because remember Garfield made $90 million, and Garfield was not a good movie.
So. See, you're making me want to cry now.
I'm sorry.
Let's move on to the DVDs for next week because I'm wanting to cry.
Sorry, Dave. All right, well, next week DVD, this will make you happy. The Simpsons movie, movie on DVD.
Well worth watching. I don't think I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to buy it either, but I do want to see it again.
But you have to see it again. You have to see it at least once or twice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's just so much jam-packed.
The part where he's flipping off the entire town as he's sinking into the sandbox.
That was great.
Homer. Oh, yeah.
This is awesome.
Everything's good in that, yes.
Yes, and Green Day, the opening scene.
Yeah. we just played for 3 hours. We'd like to talk for 5 minutes about environmentalism. Boo!
And then probably one of the biggest ultimate, you are a geek if this makes you salivate, the biggest geek DVD release of the year. Blade Runner, the 5-disc Ultimate Collector's Edition coming in the big old suitcase, $55, not a bad deal for
you
what
can
you get.
It's on standard def, high HD DVD, and Blu-ray. So it's like if you got a flavor, you can get this thing. It has all like three or four cuts of the movie. And
that's amazing. I mean, you know, for as excited I am about the Close Encounter Special Edition, this is even better because the case is so dang cool.
Yeah.
I would buy this just to walk around with that stupid case.
If I had space for it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like that Battlestar Galactica head case.
The Cylon head, yes. Yeah, I had that.
It's ridiculous. Where are you going to put that thing?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, what else we got?
Once, very good, underrated, I don't want to say underrated, but it seemed like not a lot of people saw it over the summer. Really good art house musical. I liked it a lot. One of your favorites of the year, Stardust.
Oh, I cannot wait to watch that again.
Good movie.
You need to watch it.
I need to see it, and I will see it. About freaking time I see it. Rush Hour 3 in a 2-disc special edition and regular edition because... Because you're an idiot if you buy it. And let's see. Twice the crap for one delicious price. And the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles Volume 2. That's right. Get caught up in your Indiana Jones adventures before the fourth one comes out. When are we going to see that trailer? Okay. Underdog, speaking of Mr. Jason Lee, another attempt at career suicide with Underdog. Well, it made a lot of money over the summer, unfortunately.
Did we just start like a vigil for Jason Lee?
You know, considering the money he's getting paid, no.
Okay.
He's doing just fine.
That's true. It could be the case where it's like, hey, I do this, and then I can go do something, you know, really cool. So.
Yeah, he's not selling his soul. He's just, it's already gone.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't going to go there, but okay.
All right. My name is Earl. And Rob Zombie's Halloween coming on DVD at a perfect time.
Enjoy. That's all you.
Stupid.
Why? I'm not touching that thing.
I like that movie a lot, but it's so stupid. They should have waited till October of next year to release this film. It's just too soon. It was in theaters like 5 minutes ago. Dumb. And then, let's see.
But what if it has the work print? I don't think so.
That work print wasn't as good as the theatrical print. That was sad. That's a whole other episode. And then a 2-disc special edition of National Treasure, the special collector's edition, because you know you not only need the movie, but a free ticket to see National Treasure Book of Secrets. Ooh. Braveheart, the special collector's edition.
Still haven't used my
Hitman ticket. You haven't used it yet?
No, I've got a free Hitman ticket. Still haven't used it.
Might want to use that soon, because you know that thing's going to be out of theaters fast.
I think I might just let it.
Oh, I should give it to some kid like wandering around the hallway.
Do I really want to inflict that on someone?
That's true. Give it to some full-grown adult.
Okay.
Maybe. That's cruel, too. It's like, yes. You can't win with Hitman. Yeah.
Sorry. Bunny Trail.
Now I'm depressed. Braveheart, the special collector's edition, because now is a great time to be honoring the films of Mel Gibson. This is something that should have came out years ago, before Mel Gibson became a punchline.
I have to say the cover art looks really good.
Yeah, Braveheart's one of the best films of the 90s, so it's awesome film. Still, it's just, what is this, you know, aligning itself with? What do we got? The Evil Dead Ultimate Edition.
Yes, hang on. I've got this up here somewhere. Where is it? There it is. Okay, this is a 3-disc set, which, you know, because Anchor Bay doesn't put out enough versions of the Evil Dead movies. On the first disc, we've got, it's essentially, blah, 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 blah. It looks a bit like the current Book of the Dead edition. It's Dolby Digital 6.1. It's widescreen. It's got a commentary from Sam Raimi, Rob Tapert. It's got a featurette. Actually, it's not quite the same. It's got a featurette, One by One We Will Take You, An Untold Saga of the Evil Dead. Then disc two is the full frame edition of Evil Dead. I'm wondering if this is if they shot it open, Matt, and that's what this is. Very possible. And that's all there. Oh, that one has a commentary by Bruce Campbell all by himself. And then looks like deleted scenes. And disc three, Ladies of the Evil Dead. I'm guessing this is because this is all about the different ladies who've played the romantic interest for Ash in all three films. I guess I'm kind of guessing that M. Beth Davis probably did not get involved,
or Bridget Fonda, for that matter.
Yes. Although she has to be in Evil Dead too.
Yes.
So, or no, that was the beginning of Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness, right? Yeah, the opening scene at Esmar. Yeah.
Yes. And then let's see here. Now we've got some TV spots, a trailer, and then some photo galleries and stuff. So. It's pretty crazy. It's like $21 on deepdiscount.com.
Wow. That is the ultimate. And you know, if you're an Ash fan, you got to get it. Although, we talked about this earlier.
The tree rape.
It's sad that they won't release a DVD with all three movies, a special edition at once, but we've talked about this.
Yeah,
so
Region
it's not
2,
happen.
I think you can, because they're really? All, yeah, I think the distribution deal is different overseas, so you can actually get all three.
Yeah, Region 2, they have the same thing for Halloween. They've got a Halloween set of all the Halloween movies, but, you know, they can't do that because Halloween is, you know,
owned by 50 million different people.
Right, except for the last couple with Dimension. All right, the last two releases are not good. You've got Hatchet, which about five people saw when it played over the summertime, and a movie that opened up the same day as Rob Zombie's Halloween. I guess everything that came out that weekend must come out this next weekend. Balls of Fury, because why would you own Balls of Fury? Even as a stocking stuffer, that's a crap buy.
See, that looks like Epic Movie. No.
Slightly better. I would go with slightly better than Epic Movie.
Did you see it?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to be like, whoa.
No, I'm guessing it's slightly better than Epic Movie. Just because the trailer
Christopher
Epic
Walken.
Movie, yeah, exactly. Chris Walken almost makes anything worthwhile. Almost. But, you know, he also was in Geely and Country Bears, so not everything. But.
Yes. So, okay, let's leave that alone.
This is a depressing list. Like,
some good stuff out
you've
there.
You've got the highs of Blade Runner and Simpsons, but by the time you get to, like, Rush Hour 3 and Underdog.
Yeah, I just dropped my mouse. So Well, I get that. Why don't you finish up your comment, and then we'll get to our voicemail.
Absolutely. It's just a sad, sad week, really. But again, you've got the stocking stuffers, the Simpsons movie, and Blade Runner, hopefully overriding the crap of Underdog and Balls of Fury. So
yeah.
Truly, Christmas shoppers, shop carefully. Remember, not everything in your stocking stuffer is going to be worthwhile.
Buy widescreen.
Widescreen. Don't get any of that full screen crap. I'm not going to say who got it. A family member who I love very much got me the full screen edition of Ang Lee's Hulk.
Ooh.
I got to say, that was, a little disappointing, but, you know, I love this family member very much. I'm not going to say who it was, but.
I will do one quick one as well.
Okay,
our good friend Nate, who's studying up at UC Denver for film right now, he told me a story about how he got some Christmas presents from his folks at this restaurant, and his mom's like, well, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, any movies you want? He's like, I would love anything as long as it's not full screen. And it was like two or three full screen movies. He's like, and he actually asked her to return them and give him the gift card so he could go buy what he wants.
That's funny.
But it's one of those things, you know, as a movie geek, you know, it sounds really stupid, but it's not.
You're cropping your
movie.
It's a
big thing, yeah.
There are parts of the Hulk that I will never see.
There you go, unless you just borrow my copy.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah. So, all right, let's go ahead and move on to our voicemail because, you know, the show just posted 2 days ago, but Ethan gave us some love.
Ethan!
So let's go on to that.
Hey, guys, Ethan here. Wanted to talk about the latest episode and mention how happy I am to see the podcast back because, you know, those little segments on Geek Label weren't just quite 10 minutes. You know, they're good, just not quite. Anywho, topic of Christmas films, I thought I should just mention some Christmas films. You know, they're not quite Christmas films, but they're set on Christmas, you know. Off the top of my head, there's Die Hard, yes. Brazil, Lethal Weapon, Eyes Wide Shut, Proposition, and I'm sure some other good ones. Anyway, you guys can talk about that. You're good at that. And Jingle All the Way, we have to talk about this. It's awesome. Okay, out. Bye.
Okay, so there's been a little bit of a discussion. Did he say awful or awesome?
I thought he said awesome the first time. I think he said awful this time. I don't know.
I think he said awful. I hope he said awful.
I hope he said awful.
Let us know.
Yeah, I gotta throw something out though.
Brazil, that's a really interesting pick.
I love his Christmas list. Gotta say, you know, Die Hard, Eyes Wide Shut. Thank you.
Die Hard 2 as well, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah,
definitely. Yeah, Die Hard 3 and 4, the only ones that didn't do that. The one Christmas movie that, like, I think possibly the worst Christmas movie of all time. We didn't mention it on the show, and I don't know how I overlooked this. Christmas with the Cranks. I've actually seen that.
I did
and
too.
I can vouch. I think it's the worst Christmas movie ever made.
It was pretty bad. That's the one with Tim Allen.
Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis, who's normally terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she wasn't bad in the movie. The movie around her, on the other hand, was just so.
Yes,
so
it's like, Aykroyd, what are you doing here?
Yeah, seriously.
So yes, thank you for that, sir. And as you mentioned, we do show up on Geek Label every now and again. I think that's about it for this week.
Yes.
It's all good. We made it through another one. Yay. If you'd like to shoot us an email, you can hit Barry or I individually at barryordave@screengeeks.com. You can also hit us at podcast@screengeeks.com. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, go ahead and give us a call at 719-966-4307. Just as a little side note, I also run gamecrazyradio.com. We're we aren't working with them, but there's a really cool charity out there called Child's Play. And it's actually where you can donate to these people. And what they do is they take the money and they buy video games and video game consoles and whatever and donate them to children's hospitals. So when the kids are there, they're not stuck in their room not doing anything anytime. So it's very cool stuff. We're like doing stuff as well. And there's like an event up in Denver and New York. I think I'm going to the Denver one Wednesday night. And it's good stuff. So there's a link up there. Check it out. It's cool stuff. It's something a little bit off the beaten path, but it's also very worthwhile, even though they're 8 million organizations out there trying to get your money right now. All of them worthwhile probably too. So
this is a good one. So
yes. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. Let it die. Cause we tend to. Wow. Okay then. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
Take it easy until next week.